Okay, so joining me now on the line is Owen DeVisser, who is first and foremost, I think, a photographer, but so many more things as well. Firstly, Owen, welcome to the show.
Thank you, James. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you on. And we're going to explore a number of the weird and wonderful things that you get up to. But let's start first with the camera. And you're a kind of professional photographer by trade, I think.
I think that's it's where most of my income comes from, is photography. So I've been doing it... I've had a camera in my hand since I was a kid, but I've been doing it paid work for about 8-9 years now. And it's kind of, you know, I've got more and more jobs each year. But yeah, that's my main income anyway.
Did you start with the kind of box brownie? Was it that kind of thing? Was it, just sort of fell in love at a very young age?
Yeah, basically. My mum had a really nice camera, an old Pentax 70s film camera. And I loved how that worked, but I think she got a bit annoyed of me just using all her films. So she got me something a bit cheaper with a few moving parts, and I ended up taking pictures of anything I saw. When I was sort of a teenager, I realised actually how to use a camera properly. And then I invested into digital quite early on. I got my first digital camera in 2003, a digital SLR, which most people weren't using those back then. And with digital photography comes Photoshop and Lightroom and all the other bits you've got to do now, and the lighting. And now I do all kinds of jobs for all kinds of people. So I do weddings normally, not this year. Loads of corporate stuff, things for bands and food.
I was going to ask you because, obviously, I think generally professional photographers always do weddings and babies and things like that. But the food and the kind of music aspects of photography have changed massively, haven't they, in the last sort of 2 or 3 years? That changed in terms of how people are sort of commissioning and using that work, because, you know, things are much more, you know, I'm thinking of the sort of Instagram portfolio and the sort of online presence. So is that something that's perhaps more of the work you do now, or is it an even balance?
I'd say that as Instagram's got bigger, I also believe that mobile phones have now got so good that if you're a good chef and you understand a bit about lighting and composition, you can actually do some great shots yourself. You really can. But if you want... So we've all the professional photographers have always got to stay a step ahead of, you know, the mobile phone photography, which is really impressive these days. They're such capable machines. The way we do that is we will bring along our own lighting equipment, lenses that are designed especially for close-ups and are sharper, and then the editing, which you could do more of, obviously, on a big computer than you can on a mobile phone. But it's actually... Digital photography, or professional digital photography, sadly, is probably slowly dying, like year on year. But I think less and less cameras are being sold because mobile phones are rather amazing now, I've got to say.
Is that something you see as sort of part of your toolkit and part of your palette, the mobile phone? Because I was just thinking back to many years ago when I was at school, we had a cartoonist visit our art lesson once, and he stunned a lot of people by saying that the favourite sort of instrument, if you like, that he liked to draw with was a biro. You know, he said he really loved the biro. You know, it's kind of cheap and accessible, and the ink flows nicely. So I think sometimes people think that mobile phones it's not real photography, but I think the quality now is very much real, isn't it?
It's great. It's not just the camera that makes you a photographer, though. It's you've got to understand how things look in front of a lens. And if you're taking pictures of people, you need to be able to pose them correctly and light them correctly. But to be honest, if you get all of that correct and you've just got a mobile phone in your hand, you actually take some amazing images. But that's not why photographers are hired. It's because they know the rest of the stuff. They know how to make food look right and how to pose people and what is flattering for people.
That takes us down the kind of art route, doesn't it, really? It's the kind of, you know, it's the eye and the sort of artistic perspective that's the difference between taking a photo and photography, isn't it?
Yeah, it's basically, it's the same as if, you know, if you buy a Formula One car, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win a Formula One race. You've got to understand what all the buttons do and be a good driver. You know, it's not just the equipment. So a lot of people, I think, if they were put on a racing track, would do better in a Ford Focus than they would in a Formula One car. They wouldn't just stall it and crash it somewhere. And it's one of them. But yeah, and it's fine. Digital photography isn't dying. In fact, it's becoming... Well, it's everywhere, isn't it? It's everywhere you look for digital photography, which is great, but staying a step ahead of the mobile phones is probably the biggest challenge. But yeah, no one's ever going to hire you to do a wedding with a mobile phone. It's just not going to happen.
It's part of that swirl of data, that data trail that we all generate on a hourly basis at the moment, isn't it? The kind of the photo, if you like. Let's move and let's start talking about open studios, because that links quite nicely into sort of artists and the artist's world. Now, I sort of, when I came to this and came to this idea, I didn't really know what it was, but when I got into the idea of similar to open gardens, and open gardens was something I'd heard of, it kind of clicked in my mind. So do you want to start by just explaining something about what Birmingham Open Studios is?
Yeah, so open studios are actually events that happen all over the world in loads of cities. So I was raised in Cambridge, and the open studios event there has been going since the 60s, so it's very well established. And the way it works, it's pretty much the same between all the cities, but there are some minor differences. The art is kept in the creator's working environment, so it's run like an art trail. So basically, the public are given a map, whether that's a digital map or a printed one, and they can then visit houses and studios where art is created and the artists are, which benefits both parties. So the one in Birmingham, which I started 3 years ago, started in Moseley and King's Heath, so quite like the Moseley Open Gardens. And there was 12 studios, and there's 29 artists taking part. People were given a map, and they walk around, and they meet the artists in person, and it really helps the artists, because they don't have to pay these huge commission rates that they'd have to pay in galleries. So, they can also exhibit all their work. We don't have to take it anywhere. It's a really nice event, to be honest, and it's really family-friendly, and if the artist does sell anything, which they do, then they get to keep all the money. It's not sort of like 50% goes somewhere else.
There's an air of kind of mystery and intrigue about it, isn't there? There's a kind of promise of, you know, looking into the inner sanctum of the artist, which I always find really interesting.
Yeah, some have amazing spaces. So some people will just create in their front room, and they'll tidy up their front room and people come and visit there. And others have got a dedicated space of creating at the bottom of a garden. And people love that, you know. There is a bit of like, oh, we're going to go into someone's lovely house and go down a side passage, and at the bottom of the garden they've got this wonderful space. There's certainly people who visit it who don't really fancy parting with a hard-earned cash, and that's absolutely fine, but they're welcome just as much as art collectors. And yeah, you never know who you're going to meet and what environment you're going to see, because people can create art in anywhere, really. It's got a right mix of not just professionals but also amateur art, so there's it's all equal for everyone who participates. They pay the same small membership fee and they get to keep all the money. But it's not as daunting for someone who hasn't exhibited before. So sometimes some of the artists have never exhibited before, and it's a first exhibition. But they end up selling things and getting people to visit their galleries, which is, it's really nice.
And like most of things, unfortunately, it's kind of been put on ice, I think, at the moment in terms of the current climate. But you are planning, I think, 2021 sort of is around about sort of September, October time that you usually do the kind of open studio stuff, isn't it, I think?
It is. It changes slightly each year. We try and make sure it doesn't clash with too much else. But it would have been last weekend of September and the first weekend of October this year. But because of restrictions, we can't have loads of members of the public visiting each other's houses. It's just not allowed, so we've had to put it on ice, and it'll be back next year, hopefully bigger and better than before. This is
Switch. You're also involved in something called Arts Brum, which is it's a mix of things, isn't it? It's a listings, what's on space, but increasingly it's more about sort of content and I guess review, really. Tell us a little bit about that.
It's a voluntary platform which is run by myself and two web designers, Will Plant and David Moore. And it's started 2016, and it's helped promote art and artists in Birmingham. So it gives artists a platform to put all their work online for free. So it gives web links and has a biography and pictures and all that kind of stuff. Then it has a events listing, which is all the exhibitions and arts fairs and markets which are going on in Birmingham, which sadly at the moment is obviously quite an empty page. And then it has blogs and reviews, and they are usually written by students, art students, which has been great. So they come out of their degree having already had a bit of experience in the sort of art reviewing field, which has been really nice. And Ruth Millington was involved for a while, and she's now an award-winning arts blogger, so we've had some really good people on there. There's also an online shop where local artists can sell their work. So yeah, it does a bit of everything. Although I've got to say, it's gathered a bit of dust the last few months with everything going on. There hasn't been much new stuff to put on there.
I think what's great is it's almost got a manifesto, hasn't it, in terms of, you know, supporting local art, in terms of, you know, giving artists exposure, but more than that, trying to sort of link them to potential commissions and, you know, actually sort of earning and trading their work.
Yeah, it's a pure labour of love. We just hope that artists do well out of it, and we hope to grow the Birmingham art scene. We don't benefit from it at all. In fact, it basically runs at a deficit because you're still going to pay to keep the website up and maintained and all the time we put into it.
So, Owen, you're also involved in something called Lux Gallery, which I don't know too much about, but it's a kind of a project being planned and a maybe, perhaps.
Sadly, it's supposed to be a definite until COVID. So I had planned to open up my own art gallery and photo studio. In fact, we got as far as the solicitors were all paid, plans were put in place with a building team, and I've got a contract still sitting on my desk, just needs a signature and it's ready to go. So it was supposed to open mid-May in Edgbaston Village, but with everything that went on, I had my contract handed to me in mid-March, and you could just see coronavirus kind of like, you know, taking over headlines. And I just went, do you mind if I just wait a week and see what happens here? And then all the shops got shut down completely anyway, and I wouldn't have been allowed to open. And at the time, I've got to say, I was a bit upset, understandably, having put so much effort in and everything. And then looking back on it, I'm quite lucky that I didn't put my signature down, because I wouldn't have had any financial backing by the government. I wouldn't have had furlough or anything. So maybe in hindsight I've been a bit lucky, but I still want it to happen. So what it is, it's a fine art gallery shop in the front of a building, and it's a photo studio in the back. So it's everything I do in under one roof.
Now, the other thing that you were doing that you've had to pause and stop in this kind of amazing portfolio of things that you get up to, was that you were running an open night mic at the Dark Horse in Moseley. So tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, I think you had Johnny Kowalski and the Sexy Weirdos on recently. Is that right? On
That's right, yeah. We've had him on a few times, yep.
Yeah, so Johnny Kowalski is actually one of the co-runners. So there's four of us. So we take turns each Wednesday. So he's involved. And every Wednesday at the Dark Horse, normally, there's an open mic night where you can just kind of rock up with your guitar and have a slot and get a free drink for it. And it gets so popular that we run out of slots quite quickly, which is great. And there's some amazing talent around Moseley, but it really is a we welcome anyone kind of situation. I've got to say, actually, it got cancelled for a few months, but as everything's got a bit more relaxed about outdoor spaces, we've now moved it outside to Moseley Park. So if anyone's around on Wednesday nights, there's now a few dozen of us, you know, socially distanced, and we just take turns to play songs to each other, and it's a lovely thing, really.
And there's a Facebook group, isn't there, a Facebook page that maybe we should mention at this point for that open mic night, for anyone that wants to get a slot or come along, or, you know, just find out a bit more information.
Yeah, there's obviously not much on that at the moment, but there is a Facebook page. If you just search for Dark Horse open mic, you'll find it. I think the latest post is about it now being outside temporarily.
Let's finish, Owen, with just getting a bit of perspective, really, and it's something I've sort of spoken to a number of artists about, and a number of some of the creative folks that have come on the show in the last couple of months. And really, I guess it's about the sort of effect of lockdown on your work, really. I know we've talked about a number of the kind of practical things that have had to stop or change or sort of divert from their normal sort of process, if you like. But I was wondering how it affects how you approach work, or, you know, start you thinking about doing different bits of work, or other projects that you have perhaps dreamed up in this time.
Yeah, I've kind of got a bucket list of projects, to be honest. So I've realised that I've taken stock, as a lot of people have during the last few months, and I've realised I'm actually lucky to be a creative person. I've got friends who have got great jobs but aren't creatives at heart, and I think they've struggled having not much to do but work on Zoom all day and then watch TV, especially if they sit in a flat and they can't get the garden or anything like that. I've got into doing a bit more music production on my computer. I've started writing a screenplay, things I've always kind of wanted to do, but always said, oh, if I only had the time, and then I've been given the time. So I've been trying to keep positive about it and go ahead with other projects that normally I probably wouldn't have got off the ground.
So folks that are listening to the show and want to kind of find out a little bit more about you, some of these projects, and maybe how to get in touch and maybe, you know, link into some of those things that you've just mentioned, where's the best place to find you online? How do you get in touch with you?
Well, I've got a very distinctive name. I've got the Owen DeVissa. If you Google me, I'm the only one in the world. So it brings up quite a few results for all my projects. But so I've got my own website, which is owendevissa.com. But then Arts Brum and Open Studios are obviously on Google. But just put my name in and you'll find me. It's D-E space V-I-S-S-E-R. And I am lucky to be the only Owen DeVissa in the world as far, well, according to Google anyway.
A true exclusive for the show there. Go, there you go. Owen, it's been great to talk to you. And thanks for your time. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, James. Thanks for having me.